From the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
With you, Troy.
Yes, hi, how are you? Hello, how are you?
Good, good, good. Exciting things have been happening. Your records up at Southbound Records. You set someone out on an operation.
We did. We decided that we'd... We kind of figured that, you know, we're always talking about different vinyl pressings and things like that.
I bet you are. Yeah. I bet that's pretty much the topic of conversation most of the day.
Yeah, pretty much. And so, anyway, most people know that it's one of those it's one of those, what's that thing called, received wisdom things, that Japanese pressings are amongst the best that you can get. You know, the reason is that they would often do their own vinyl masters, they would cut their own lacquers, they would their pressing plants were higher quality control.
Finicky?
Yeah, but. Only as it should be.
Yeah, so it's probably more a matter of them doing it right and not cutting corners.
Right.
When to the odds, sort of like having worked in record stores, flimsy ones back in the day, those early 90s, just...
The floppy ones,
you know. And they're just
not even
stamped.
So there's one thing that illustrates it really well is... remember after Elvis died, suddenly record plants all around the world, they stopped pressing anything but Elvis records. So there was just like RCA, like just monopolised everything. Elvis records flooded the world. Now, you're familiar with these records, though. Like you find them in secondhand stores, a crappy, flimsy cardboard cover. You like tip the record out and it's this... It's
boing!
A wobble board. Horribly. Yeah. Nothing, you know, who knows how many times. The difference in Japan is just a good example. Is after Elvis died, they also made Elvis records. You look at those, it's a really heavy cardstock, always nice gloss, perfect attention to all kinds of detail on it. You take the record out, it's at least 140 grams, it's pressed properly, it's straight, you know, it's like, okay, so...
Do you weigh the records?
I might.
Pause there, said everything.
That's another story. Anyway, so last weekend...
I can just see you look at 138 ton.
Oh! Although we could talk about how the weight actually doesn't affect the sound quality, if you like. But let's just move on. Last weekend...
Durability, that's what I think about it.
Exactly.
You know, yeah.
And it's it will save...
Supports the groove better. That's what I think.
And we live in what kind of climate? A climate that is not conducive to records. So.
Yeah, that's true. So good on us for sussing that out. Worse though for tapes, cassette tapes, you know.
Everything goes mouldy.
Everything goes mouldy.
So last weekend we decided to send Jeffrey to Japan on a scouring trip for secondhand records.
Like a big game hunter, sending him off to get some to bring back some prize hides.
So we sent him to Tokyo, and he spent entire 4 days in Shibuya going through every single record store in Shibuya, and there is a lot.
Now, there's a lot of people in Japan, I know that. I haven't yet to visit Japan myself, but I know that they like their goods and wares over there, a very consumer society.
That's right, and Sarah will know this. Shibuya has the busiest pedestrian crossing in the world.
It does, yeah.
Yep. Anyway, so Jeffrey went over there and chose a whole bunch of stuff.
Getting over that fascinating fact about the pedestrian crossing.
Oh, it's...
I know the one you're talking about. I've seen it.
People buzz out about Times Square, but then when you... use the Japanese version, you're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Get lost.
Weirdly enough, Jeffrey, the only tourist photo that Jeffrey took this time was of that pedestrian crossing extremely early in the morning, and there's about four people on it.
Maybe there has to be someone on it at all times.
Everyone's on the train. It's a lot of excellent ritual in Tokyo.
So,
sounds like you've been?
I have, yes.
So Jeffrey comes back with huge amount of records, everything that he could carry, all kinds of stuff.
How many records are you allowed to bring back from overseas?
It depends.
Did he have to declare them?
Did he declare them, Troy?
I'm sure. He's a law-abiding citizen.
All right.
On you, Jeffrey.
Now, did he bring loads of records back for himself or for the shop?
Just for the shop.
Shoppers, that means it's for the people,
it's for the people.
For the peeps, man.
Yeah. It's like, why is it so expensive for people to mail order stuff from Japan? Why do they have to go to these, you know, why? Let's see if we can get a whole bunch of cool stuff so we don't miss out.
Tell you what, you're ahead of the curve.
It's I just grabbed a small selection of things. You tell me what you can see here. This is the first. This is a 12-inch from 1983.
It says that first I can see it's a 1,500 yen.
Well, you what you're doing is you're reading on the obi. Now, the obi strip. Obi just means sash, like a sash on your kimono. But that's that piece of paper that is over one side of the record.
Yep.
Like a little sleeve.
The same way that they put those little things over toilets in hotels that say sanitize your protection.
It's exactly like that. Yeah. Exactly like that. What you have there is that record.
It's a 12-inch record.
Yeah.
By the artist Public Image Limited.
Yes.
Of course, a very well-known song called This Is Not a Love Song. And it's got the lyrics back here. If you need to sing along, that's handy.
Because there's always the Japanese always have to put a lot of extra stuff.
This is what intrigues me is like how come Japan's the country that gets all the extra bonus bits?
I think it's just attention to detail. And in fact, if you flip,
but now they've started it, it gets to carry on. You know, it's like now if they don't do a Japan deluxe edition, then you look like you're screwing Japan over.
That's right.
You know,
that's the way they've kept their business alive.
Good scam. Good scam.
Now, the front of that, you'll notice that if you've seen a copy of this before, it's just usually the Pill logo printed on a white slip.
Did I say this is not a love song?
You did.
Yeah. So, there we go. Yes.
And what did they do? They embossed. They embossed.
Wow. Just the logo extra level. Freaky Japanese.
Extra level of detail.
Right, so let's hear the version which is called the re-remixed version, which is a misnomer, because what it is in fact is the original version of This Is Not a Love Song with Keith Levine's long guitar. There's no horns in this version.
No.
This is not a love song. You're not the biggest fan of horns, are you, Michael?
Oh, no, I love brass. Don't worry about that. This is kind of a cool. I'm trying to think how to describe this version of it.
It's got lasers in it.
I think you played that keyboard, but okay.
Are you sure it's a keyboard, not a laser? Not a laser
I'm
gun?
Not sure.
A laser gun?
I'm not sure.
Tough punk would like this, wouldn't they? You're right up there, Ellie.
So, of course,
is it the only place you could get this version of it?
No, I think they put it on the 12 inches in other countries, but not pressed like this.
You can hear it. Listen to how well this is pressed, listeners.
Listen to the bass.
Hard to get a really massive bass in those days too, wasn't it?
Yep.
What year was this written?
It's 1983. And in
classic.
Fact, the Japanese single of it came
form.
Out.
Wait. Yep.
Japanese single came out, I think, 2 or 3 months prior to it coming out anywhere else.
See, how did they scam that? Must be great, man. You must have some serious record nerds over there, though, eh?
Oh, yeah, you
just
do.
Just so, like...
See, I was on FaceTime with Jeffrey most of the time in all of the shops, and the people in there, you should see the speed at which they flip through records. They flip through, they barely look, they put it in their pile of things to get. They replenish these shops 2 or 3 times a day by the looks of it. Totally cool.
And somewhere, some middle-of-the-road radio station going, you know, I've heard the vinyl's back.
So that's just that's one of the things that Jeffrey picked up, this lovely Public Image single.
Do you
want
to play this
episode?
Play it or not?
Yeah, why not? Because I brought this one and I actually chose this especially for you because I figured you haven't heard it and you'd probably be quite into it. This is a live recording from 1973 at the Roxy in Los Angeles.
Hey!
Yeah, thank you. Familiar with this group?
No.
That's cool cover.
Yeah, by this time in the 70s, they were probably like the funkiest R&B group in the United States.
Well, that is a big call.
You'll hear. They'd started off in the 60s as a group called the Jazz Crusaders, playing jazz.
So not taking Christianity to the world?
No.
No.
They dropped the jazz, although they didn't really. They just dropped it out of their name. And, used the jazz sensibility in R&B and funk. So this is what you...
So good. Someone spilled mummy's medicine.
This is... I always think that this is kind of what the Meters would have been like had they been jazz-trained musicians. But this LP, Scratch, is a really cool one. And weirdly enough, usually when you find copies of this, i.e. like my own copy of this, it's scratched to shit. It's like, you know, these were popular with people. People played them at parties all the time. So this
also
might be...
responsible for the massive Chown Straight Life.
That's right.
Which is
Straight Life!
It's, six, 7 years after this. Six years after this. 79 was Straight Life, wasn't it?
Which we've been known to drop on this show when we're feeling...
Because we can...
Particularly jazzy.
Because we can relate to the street life.
Particularly Randy Crawford.
Randy Crawford. Okay, there's some brass for you, Mike.
Yeah, love it.
Secret weapon in this group, of course, would have been Joe Sample on keyboards, I think. Who went on to do a lot of stuff with various very old jazz musicians, people like Count Basie or whatever.
They don't die jazz musicians, you know that?
Nope, they don't. Talking to Miles on the phone just the other day.
But they have to try really hard to die.
I don't think anyone really tries, do they?
No. Jazz musicians really run themselves into the ground, some of them, you know.
Are you saying all jazz musicians are vampires, Mike?
I'm not saying. I'm just saying you have to be a pretty interesting person to be playing Come Really Faithful on the trumpet. So I think Chet Baker here and then being smacked out of your head on heroin.
Yeah.
So doing Christmas carols, you know. It's a certain type of person.
That's right. You know how Chet Baker died, of course, don't you?
Mumps.
The dude looked like he was already a walking skeleton for a number of years.
Hard out, yeah.
But how did he die? Well...
Piano on the head.
No. Amsterdam.
Stubbed his toe.
Amsterdam, that's all you need to say.
He locked himself out of his hotel room, decided he would, go up to someone else's room and, crawl around to try to get in the window the other way, and fell. That's how it, after that many years of abuse and caning, that's how the dude died.
Yeah. You wouldn't see a middle of the road singer do that, would you? That sort of thing a jazz musician does, you know?
That's right. Climb up there, huh? Yeah. Oh, I'm just going to climb up there.
Freeform.
Just do a little parkour.
This is smooth. This would be great down in the conversation pit, this sort of music, wouldn't it?
It would. Okay, try this. Try the second track on this one. It's a bit of dust there, I'm sorry.
I recognise that record label.
Oh, yeah. By the way, the ripping noise you're hearing is because all the Japanese second-hand records come in these lovely resealable sleeves, so I was just opening one in case anyone thought something untoward was going on.
Okay, ready now?
We're ready, yeah. How does that sound?
Squishy.
Fan of the clavinet?
I certainly am.
Obviously.
Hi, Stevie.
Talking Book album, which came out in 1973. What we have here is a 1977 Japanese pressing.
So pressed in 1977.
Yep.
Been sitting there since then. Where's it been since then? It's just been sitting there waiting for us.
No, I'd say someone's played it once or twice. Who knows?
Well, do they re-sash it up in that? They re-jush it up and make
No,
it
they just they just have respect.
So this is a second-hand record.
That's the second-hand record. Yep. What
they
do you think?
They do have respect, do they now?
Isn't that insane? It's a second-hand record, but it still has the OB. It still has all of the inserts. It's been treated very well.
Imagine the shame upon your family if you creased it.
See, that's exactly it. So, like stuff like this, which we're used to hearing either on the digital form of CD or on a record, which a current repressing, which are fine.
Yeah, fine.
Nothing wrong with that. But it's nice to hear something from the era, which
where it was created. Yeah, exactly. The can you smell the record? But it's plain, isn't it?
Well, you can go over there. You're
We've had that conversation, haven't we, about that concept, that Moody Man concept of being able to smell the error on a record?
Maybe I kind of agree.
That might be something you may not be able to get from these Japanese pressings because they're a bit too meticulously clean and...
Do you mean literally the record itself or the casing?
Yeah, it's a quote from Moody Man saying that, you know, a really great piece of vinyl, you can when you buy a secondhand record,
it
you can
pick it up
and it smells like 1978 or it smells like 1984. Or if you get... Now, that's what I call Music 6. It just smells like shit.
You take that back.
Yeah, there you go, see?
Right now, Mike is swelling the very rare Clash Pearl Harbor 79 release.
A little bit of Ciggy smoke?
No.
A little bit of Ciggy smoke, a little bit of dubbin.
Dubbin?
I'm going to really break that smell down. Here we go.
Somebody just texted in saying, how much for Stevie? Yum. Full stop.
I can't remember, but basically... basically, I'll tell you this. We've priced all of these records from about $25 up to about $60, depending on what they are.
Straight off a plane and then...
Straight off the plane. We ain't put them on the shelf yet. They'll go on tomorrow. But did you get a hint of licorice in there?
A little bit,
not
natural licorice. That the Black Knight sort of licorice, yeah.
Yeah.
Does it have a few waxy notes? Yeah. Has a almost a just the skerrick of hair gel.
You could be right. Yeah. No. I think it's pomade.
It might be mousse.
It's pomade.
It might be pomade. You're right.
That one there, this Pearl Harbor 79 Clash record. What this is for a Japanese tour in 79. They at the time, the first Clash album.
I'm just going to jump right in here.
Yeah, go on.
Jesus Christ, Stevie Wonder's amazing, eh?
Beyond amazing.
All right, sorry, back to the Clash, yes, sir. And as are the Clash, who we're talking about as well.
This here is like the US lineup of the first Clash album, so it's like. It's where they put singles on and everything as well, so you get complete control in White Man and Hammersmith.
Blood. Everything they can do to make the Japanese market happy. Eh?
Well, you know, you could have got it like that in the States, but what do we do to make the Japanese market happy? Well, let's put in this four-page booklet in Japanese with a couple of pictures of the Clash. Let's put in seven-inch single and put Gates of the West and Groovy Times, which was half of the cost of living EP elsewhere.
A seven-inch single inside the album.
And let's also put a frame.
Yes, a frame.
A cardboard frame.
That way you can make it very nice.
That way you can read the liner notes in Japanese without creasing it. And of course, we have like a better than an obi. We have an obi style sleeve completely covering the cover with a.
It's kind of like an alternate cover.
I kind of think it's unusual that it's a Japanese record and it's called Pearl Harbor 79.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. But yeah, that's like one of the sort of oddities that you find in Japan as well.
Hey, I've had your record shop at the Southbound there. Like, is there a list somewhere people can see all these new fans? They have to come in and just browse through.
Well, usually, when it's a normal week, we do have a list of everything that's just come in on our website. And also we have a mail out, which goes out every Friday.
Sounds to me like this is not a normal week, though.
This is not a normal week. And like I said, there's like a nearly 200 records Jeffrey brought back from Japan, And I have a suspicion that if I just sat there and started to list them, by the time they go on sale, it's going to be out of date, isn't it? Because there's only one copy of everything, except for the one that we especially got for Sarah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, what is this?
Mean.
Oh no, let's play it.
Let's not play it.
No,
oh,
no,
no.
You guys all the effort to bring it in. Here, let's play it. It's a classic too.
We got to. We
look at the wet skin on the cover.
Look at that disgusting, sweaty,
it's
wet skin.
It's a really gross cover.
Is it honey?
It's. Oh. Have a taste.
It's bodily fluids. Either
that
way,
is, it's
either way, it's.
It is a Japanese pressing, which is horrifying in this case because it's more high res. Wobble, wobble. Yeah, but you know what? Who cares? Who cares about this one?
I don't know whether to be touched or nauseous.
You love this record.
You
love it.
We want to see you dance. Dance, go!
It's the last time I promote people coming into Southbound to my private yacht.
Mind if I take the dinghy out?
Have you got your hat?
Mind if I use the seasick bag?
Got your zinc? Somebody texts in saying, I smell K-bars. Not far off.
Depending on when it was, I guess.
Hey, mate, you can still buy K-bars today.
Harry and Shemina just came in because they love Hall & Oates too.
Well, then I'm going to turn it off because I hate Hall & Oates.
I hate them as well. I think they're just vile.
I think it's just a sick joke.
They came here and they played a winery.
See?
And a whole lot of the Little Chief members of various bands that swap over. So Lawrence Arabia, Hayden East, etc. They all went down the front and Daryl Hall was being such an asshole on stage that they all got out of their seats and went to side of stage and started chanting, Oates, 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 Oates. And he had been quiet the entire show. And then just looked to the corner and went, eyebrow raise and a thumbs up.
See, what a wanker.
See, I
Daryl Hall's the wanker.
Lawrence Arabia and going to the winery and being the upsetters. Come on, LA.
That makes perfect sense. If you're in a band called Disciples of Mecca, you're going to go to Hall & Oates where they play.
That's just terrible as well.
You're just wasting your time down at Hall & Oates.
I'm going to put my vote in for that. I'm going to be there.
You can
dissenter.
Your yacht rocking can do way better than this.
Yeah.
It can, but I'm also going to acknowledge that.
You love the cover.
You love that cover.
Cover's vile.
What's the. Look, have you seen this cover?
I'm passing my headphones to Shemina now.
See it?
You should see the horror on Shemina's face.
I'm holding it close because that's where it would be. Post-coitally or whatever it is. Oof. All right, it's a little indulgent what we're doing now, so I'll just press the outro and say thanks, Troy. All the best here.
Thanks so much. We'll have all these second-hand and Japanese and stuff. All these things will be on sale for this weekend, so... you're probably not going to want to come rushing in and buy Hall & Oates, but you can.
I think it's pertinent to say, fuck you for whaling as well, Japan, but still, get those records. Cheers.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T. White Spikes.